we're going through Jehoshaphat, and we learned some lessons as we went through this. First lesson that we learned is that Jehoshaphat followed the example of his father, Asa. And we should all have good examples to follow, and we should be good examples to follow. If you missed that message, you can go onto our website and find that message. We also learned that discernment is not the same as revelation. Listen, God would never have you discern something, especially something evil, that he's not willing to give you a revelation for. See, God speaks into evil. Wherever the light goes, the darkness goes away. So if you feel like you're discerning something, then you need to wait on the Lord for his revelation in that. That's how it becomes good news. The other thing that we learned last week that we were together is before Father's Day, that we got to know who we need to know who we are. You need to know who you are, because when you know who you are, you begin to work from position rather than for position. You are a child of the one true living God. He has imputed his righteousness into you. All his promises to you are yea and amen. You can move in the spirit and see God do things. Move from a position of victory. Move from a position of healing. Move from a position of what you already have. And so this week, our scripture is in 2 Chronicles, and I'm going to read, I believe, 9. And we're going to start in 7. In the third year of his reign, Jehoshaphat sent out his officials to teach in all the towns of Judah. And I'm not going to give them all by name. There's a whole bunch of them. And he sends these officials out. But along with these officials, it says that the Bible says that he also sent out two of them, to go with him. And these priests had a specific job. They took copies of the book of the law of the Lord and traveled around through all the towns of Judah teaching the people. Verse 10, then the fear of the Lord fell over the surrounding kingdom so that none of them wanted to declare war on Jehoshaphat. Some of the Philistines brought gifts to him. There's a fear in the Bible, especially in the Old Testament. When you hear the word fear, it often means in awe of God. That, I looked this word up because I felt this was an interesting scripture right here, and I looked the word up and it doesn't mean awe, it means dread. It means terror. The terror of the Lord, the dread of the Lord went out to the people. Now, I know one of the things in our church today is we have allowed our circumstances to dictate our theology. And so quite often we like to preach dread and terror and send the terror of the Lord out to people. And like that video showed, that's not really what the people always need. See, they need truth. And in our small groups, we talked about how truth overcomes facts. There may be facts that you and I can see and recognize, but there's a truth that never changes. Facts can change. Truth doesn't change. We can look back now and say very clearly that God did not take Mel's cancer away. But that does not change the fact that God is Jehovah Rapha. He is the God that heals. And the psalmist says, he forgives all my sins and heals all of my disease. When I went to the hospital 2 weeks ago to meet this man dying of cancer, Bob White, he received me as if he was receiving the Lord. And this Saturday, Ray went to his home to visit with him, and he led him in a sinner's prayer. If God heals him of cancer, that's up to God. And I believe that God heals. He is the God that heals. It says, by his stripes we are healed. That's something he did 2,000 years ago. And it hasn't expired today. But greater is, we know now that Bob White will walk into the presence of the Lord if he loses his battle with cancer. He is the God that heals our sins. He is the God that heals our disease. The prophet Isaiah says, the spirit of the sovereign Lord is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted and to proclaim the captives will be released and prisoners will be freed. He has sent me to tell those who mourn that the time of the Lord's favor has come. This is the good news. And you and I are all about the good news. You and I are all about sending out the good news. Sometimes we want to use this in our favor and take to the people a God that they should dread, that they should fear, that they should worry about, a God that brings shivers to us. And there is an aspect of that. But listen, I want us to get this right, because it's so important when we minister to people that we have a proper understanding of the God that we serve. He is the God that created everything that you see. He is the God of everything that you see. He's the one that gives life. He is also the one that has the right to take life. He says, you don't have to fear man. You fear man, all they can do is take your life. But I can not only take your life, but I can condemn your life. And I get that. But if we really want to know the heart of God, we need to look no further than Jesus Christ himself. And Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 14 and 15, he said this. These are the words of Jesus. Just because I am the one making these claims doesn't mean they're invalid. For I absolutely know who I am, where I come from, and where I am going. But you Pharisees have no idea what I am saying, for you've set yourself as judges of others based on outward appearances. But I certainly never judge others in that way, for I discern the truth. See, you and I have been commissioned to bring the good news to people. That's the good news of Jesus Christ. Will he judge this world? Yes, he will. But right now, the message of the cross is his love. See, if all God wanted to do was be an outward force that just brings judgment and dread upon us, if that was his goal, why would he go through the greatest act of love ever recorded in human history? God didn't need his son to send his son to die on a cross for that. And these people in the Old Testament here that we see, the dread is falling on them and the terror is falling on them simply for one reason. And I took a little time to look into why would that happen? Simply this, they were outside of the kingdom of God. It says to other kingdoms, to those outside. Outsiders. To outsiders, the law brings dread. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17 and 16 and 17 says, God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. And as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. So we will not be afraid on that day of judgment, but we can face him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in this world. See, living like Jesus is not something that we have to try to do. What that scripture is saying, and in your translation, it probably says it this way, as Christ is to the world, so are we. As Christ is, so are we to the world. I don't have to try to be that. I am that. One of the conversations I had with Mel on Tuesday, I got to talk with him a little bit, and he had so much clarity, and we're having these aha moments. When I watch a brother or a sister or somebody that's in the Lord, when I watch them leave this world, die, if you will, I see something different. See, we are all body, mind, and spirit. Some of us more body and less mind, but we're all body, mind, and spirit. When you're born again, you know what you're doing when you're born again? You're saying to the Lord, I want now to be spirit, mind, and body. In other words, I want to be led by the Spirit. But the mind and the body is still at play all the time. But I have found, as I've been with multiple people now in the last days of their life, including my own son, I have found that as your body and your mind is beginning to give away, your spirit becomes more alive than it's ever been before. And Mel began to discern things in the spirit. And he said to me, but why don't I feel God? Which I replied to him, listen, if God was nothing more than an outside force, see, when I walk outside and it's raining, I feel the rain. When I walk outside and it's 106 degrees, I feel the heat. That's an external force infecting me. But when Christ lives in me, I don't think about, let me see, oh, I feel my eyes, oh, there they are. I don't think about my eyes all the time. They do what they're supposed to do. See, the greatest lie, one of the greatest lies of the enemy is that somehow that we can ever be separated from God. You invite him into your life, he's in your life. You and him become as one, and as he is, so you are to the world. Greater is he that lives in you than he that lives in the world. He's in you. The hope of glory is in you. And as Mel was letting go more and more of this life, he was seeing heaven. I have a video that was sent to me of him just hands up, thumbs up. What's he thumbing up? That's really cool. I remember the words of my son. Daddy, can you see them? They're all around me. No, son, I can't, but I know you do. See, as the body and the mind give way, the spirit can become who it's meant to be. And someday you and I will walk into fully who we are. And what a beautiful thing to know that someday I will be known as I am known by heaven. And I will be who heaven says I am. And you and I have an opportunity right now in this life to get part of that right. That I can just be a small glimmer of what God sees in me now. And I think if we begin to value what God sees in us, it'll change the way we look at life in general. Sorry, this is the voice after doing a wedding and now doing this service. And then a funeral this afternoon. I'm just glad I brought the right notes this morning. Or some of you could have been getting married or getting buried. I don't know. I want the world to see a glimpse of who Jesus is right now. In me, right here, right now. And this is the good news. You too can have that. Where am I in my notes? Romans 5:1. Our faith in Christ transfers God's righteousness to us, and he now declares us flawless in his eyes. This means we can now enjoy true and lasting peace with God, all because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. It's all, say all, because of what Christ has done. I'm not righteous because I got it better. I didn't get it better than you. See, all of our righteousness is as filthy rags. All of our righteousness is as filthy rags. So my filthy rags is the same as your filthy rags. But his righteousness covering me, that's a beautiful thing. I can begin to be something that I could never be on my own. I can become the righteousness of Christ because of what he did. This means that we can now enjoy true and lasting peace with God. So we will not be afraid on that day of judgment. Judgment's coming. It is. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid for me. I can be free and fearless. I'm afraid for people who I encounter who don't know him because they don't understand him. And if they don't understand him, then they forcefully reject what they can so freely accept. I can't imagine what voice I'm going to have later on today. Lord, when I said, give me your voice, I meant something different. This is a weird voice. In the New King James Version, it says, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so we are to the world. See, hell is a very real place. I'm not going to tell you it isn't. But hell doesn't exist to scare us into heaven. I don't even concern myself with hell. I know this, heaven is full of people that fell in love with God, not afraid of God. Fell in love with him. And the terror of hell is simply this, the absence of love. They don't need to be afraid of hell, they need to know his love. When they know his love, his love, hell is nothing compared to his love. Jesus spoke about hell more than anybody else in the Bible. Why, to scare you? No, to tell you what you don't have to worry about if you just give your life to him, turn your life over to him. See, my efforts to not sin, they're not because I'm afraid of hell, because I serve a living God who's changed my life, who's done something different. And my decisions now are to honor what he's paid for. He put a price upon you. He paid the ultimate price for you. Let him have his money's worth. Give yourself over to him. Live for him. And when you fully understand the full expression of God in you, then the world can begin to experience the full expression of God through you. But I'm just kind of weird like this. I don't think the world needs to see God until you understand God in you, because they're going to see a wrong idea of God. And this is what Paul was talking about in Ephesians. For the first three chapters of Ephesians, you and I don't really even show up. He's telling you what God did. He's telling you what Christ did. He's telling you what the Holy Spirit did. And then he says in the opening of chapter 4, now therefore, because of this, now walk this way. And the first thing he tells you to walk in is unity. I just think if we can't get the unity right, we need to go back to verse chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3 until we get the message right. Then, when you and I get the message right, look at the power of God that brings the good news to the people. I want to be a part of his good news. I want to be a part of what he's doing. I don't know where I'm at anymore. Let's look at chapter 18, verse 1. I got 5 minutes to close this. Jehoshaphat enjoyed great riches and high esteem, and he made an alliance with Ahab of Israel by having his son marry Ahab's daughter. Let me put this in context for you. Here is Jehoshaphat that is serving his father's God. If you are here this morning and you're serving your father's God, you need to make that God real for your life. Because I'm just going to tell you that I don't think God was real enough to Jehoshaphat, or he would never aligned himself with Ahab. Let me tell you about Ahab. Here's what the Bible says about Ahab. In 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 30, "Now Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord more than all who were before him. There were seven before him, and they were all evil. But this one was more evil. And he married Jezebel, who was even more evil. And Jezebel hated God's children, and so she was always persecuting him. But she was a pagan, and so Ahab began to worship pagan gods." What in the world is Jehoshaphat doing, joining himself with something he has no business being a part of? And look at verse 3. Ahab says to him, "Will you go with me into this battle?" King Ahab says to King Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat replies, "Why, of course. You and I are as one, and my troops are your troops. We will certainly join you in this battle." Jehoshaphat just offered to Ahab something that he doesn't even own, something he has no business offering. He offered them God's troops. And here's a key point, and if you don't remember anything else, remember this. Don't offer what isn't yours to offer. Don't offer up to that thing what isn't yours to offer. Jesus paid a price for you. You're a child of the living God. Whatever sin, whatever deceit, whatever situation you do not belong in, don't offer yourself up to it. It's not you. You don't have you anymore to offer. You and I, see, we need to start investing in that which we put value in. We need to start building on that which we put value in. I put value in my relationship with Jesus Christ. He paid it all. And when that depression comes upon you, don't take up with it. Don't let part of yourself marry off to it. You're a child of the living God. You have no business being there and being a part of that. Here's the good news. We are made righteous through Christ. All the privileges transferred to a new kingdom. And we need to quit offering to sin what belongs to God. Every move we make must be to build on what we value the most. Why would we tell Christ we value what we want over what he wants? I wish I would have wrote that. That's good notes. Oh, I did. The Holy Spirit has so much more for you. And we need to become the church that quits aligning ourselves with things that we have no business aligning ourselves with. We belong to him. Say it, I belong to him. I belong to him. This is the good news, that I belong to him. His righteousness has been imputed to me. And if I begin to value his love for me, I will begin to see things a whole lot different. I will begin to act a whole lot different. Life for me will be different. And when people encounter me as he is, so I will be to the world. Father, this morning, simple message. The good news. First of all, I offer our forgiveness, Father, that we have judged the world and judged the very ones that you have sent us to love and care for. Last week, a thought came to my mind, Lord, that I knew was from you. How frightening would it be if we were keeping out the very people that you were trying to reach? First of all, I offer a forgiveness. Then I pray, Father, that the scales will fall off of our eyes, and because of your great love inside of us, we will be able to see your great love poured out into all of humanity, to see those who simply need a touch of the Master, who simply need the living presence of Jesus Christ in their lives, living in them, not externally forced upon them, but living inside of them, that we may move in the same power that has raised Christ from the dead and be the same people that you have called us to be. And how the enemy has got us so bound up with things that have nothing to do with our new identity, I pray release in Jesus' name. I pray deliverance in Jesus' name. I pray the enemy defeated in Jesus' name. Right now, all eyes are closed, or there's somebody here that simply says, I don't think I know God that way. I want to know God that way. Just raise your hand, and then I want you to come and see me after. I'm going to pray over you. If there's anybody here, I don't want anybody to miss the incredible time that's coming for every one of us. Anyone? Yes, Jesus, thank you. Father, you see the hand that's been raised, and I just pray, as you have penetrated our lives and my life with the gospel message, I pray, Lord, over that life. I thank you, Father, for your mighty work. Now let us walk into what you have for us, to be bold warriors of Jesus Christ, to be able to come boldly before the throne room of God because of the position that you have already given us. Forgive us, Father, that we continually work for a position that we already have. And it is the work of the enemy to offer us something that we already have. I just pray, Father, victory and freedom in Jesus' name for all who will turn their hearts to you. We love you. We thank you. We praise you. Give him some love this morning. Amen. Amen. Give him some love. Let's celebrate our God. I empower you by the Holy Spirit to walk in good news, to send good news and bring good news. Good news to you, good news out of you, good news through you, good news of the gospel. Amen? Amen. 2:00. If I don't see you at 2:00, I'll see you here, there, or maybe in the air. Love you guys. Bless you. If you need